మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జనవల్లభ గిరి వరధారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జనవల్లభ గిరి వరధారి యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమున తీరవన చారి యమున తీరవన చారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారి జయ రాధా వృందావన్ బిహారి రాధా వృందావన్ బిహారి రాధే జయ ప్రభుపద 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 జయ ప్రభుపద జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీమద్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ అభయచరణ అరవింద భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీమద్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఠాకూర్ ప్రభుపాద్ కీ నామాచార్య శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కీ ప్రేమ్ సే కహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపీనాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరి గోవర్ధన్కి వ్రజభూమి శ్రీ వృందావన్ ధామ్కి పురుషోత్తమక్షేత్ర శ్రీ జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి గంగమైకి జయ యమునమైకి జయ భక్తిదేవికి జయ తులసీదేవికి జయ హరే కృష్ణ మహామంత్రికి జయ గ్రంథరాజ శ్రీమద్భాగవతంకి జయ All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 4, chapter number 21, shloka number 11. Maitreya uvacha, Ganga yamunayor nadyor, antarakshima mavasan, arabdhan eva bubhuje, bhogan punya jihasayam, గంగాయమునయోర్నద్యోర్ అంతరాక్షేత్రమావసన్ ఆరబ్ధాన్ ఏవ బుభుజే భోగాన్ పుణ్యజిహాసయాం గంగాయమునయోర్నద్యోర్ अन्तराक्षेत्रमावसन् आरब्धान् एव बुभुजे भोगान् पुण्यजिहासय। मैत्रेय उवाच, गंगा यमुनयोर्नद्योर् अन्तराक्षेत्रमावसन् आरब्धानेव बुभुजे भोगान् पुण्यजिहासय। अन्तराक्षेत्रमावसन् आरब्धानेव बुभुजे भोगान् पुण्यजिहासय। मैत्रेय उवाच, गंगा यमुनयोर्नद्यो अन्तराक्षेत्रमावसन् आरब्धानेव बुभुजे भोगान् पुण्यजिहासय। गंगा यमुनयोर्नद्योर् अन्तरान् क्षेत्रमावसन् आरब्धानेव बुभुजे भोगान्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। द ग्रेट सेंटली सेज मैत्रेय टोल्ड विदुरा, माय डियर विदुरा, King Prithu lived in the tract of land between the two great rivers Ganga and Yamuna. Because he was very opulent, it appeared that he was enjoying his desired fortune, destined fortune, in order to diminish the results of his past pious activities. Purport. The terms pious and impious are applicable only in reference to the activities of an ordinary living being. But Maharaj Prithu was a directly empowered incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, he was not subject to the reactions of pious and impious activities. As we have already explained previously, when a living being is specifically empowered by the Lord to act for a particular purpose, he is called a Shaktyavesha avatar. Prithu Maharaj was not only a Shaktyavesha avatar but also a great devotee. A devotee is not subjected to the reactions of past deeds, resulting from past deeds. In the Brahma Samhita it is said, Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. For devotees, the results of past pious and impious activities are nullified by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word arabdhan eva means as if achieved by past deeds. But in the case of Prithu Maharaj, there was no question of reactions to past deeds, and thus the word eva is used here to indicate comparison to ordinary persons. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, avajananti mam moodhaha. This means that sometimes people misunderstand incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be an ordinary person. The Supreme Godhead, His incarnations or His devotees may pose themselves as ordinary men, but they are never to be considered as such. Nor should an ordinary man, not supported by authorized statements of the Shastras and Acharyas, be accepted as an incarnation or a devotee. By the evidence of Shastra, Sanatana Goswami detected Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a direct incarnation of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Lord Chaitanya never disclosed the fact, it is therefore generally recommended that the Acharya or Guru should not be accepted as an ordinary man. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। गंगा यमुनयोर नद्योर अंतरा क्षेमम आवसन आरब्धान एव बुभुजे भोगान पुण्य जिहासया। इन दिस श्लोका मैत्रेयी मुनि सेइंग दैट पृथु महाराज लिव्ड बिटवीन दिस ट्रैक्ट ऑफ लैंड बिटवीन द टू रिवर्स गंगा एंड यमुना एंड ही एंजॉयड द किंगडम एंड ऑल प्लेजर्स एज इफ दे वर रिजल्ट्स ऑफ हिज पास्ट पायस एक्टिविटीज एंड प्रभुपाद सेज that devotees do not experience the results of past pious or impious activities because this whole conversation about pious and impious deeds do not exist for devotees. Okay, especially a devotee like Prithu Maharaj, who is a pure devotee. And further, a Shaktyavesh avatar of the Lord. So there is no question of piety or impiety. Whatever he does is bhakti. So Prabhupada repeatedly says that he was not subject to the reactions of pious or impious activities. But the description of the shloka says that he is enjoying the results of past pious activities. But there is one small word also, eva, that indicates that it's not exactly result of pious activities. As if one is enjoying the results of pious activities, he is enjoying. Okay. So, when somebody is performing devotional service, the happiness or distress that a person, that such a devotee experiences, does not have a cause in his or her past good or bad activities, auspicious or inauspicious activities. So, Krishna is personally orchestrating the life of such devotees. Okay, whether it is happiness or distress, Krishna is in control. Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Prabhupada quotes that shloka also in this purport. So, when someone takes to the process of bhakti, karma is exhausted. Whether it is good karma or bad karma, it's exhausted. Right? So, whether it is happiness or distress, that has to be ordained by Krishna, not exactly a result of one's past misdeeds. And this is very clearly described in many other episodes of Srimad Bhagavatam also. We see the episode of Bhishma, where he consoles Yudhishthir Maharaj. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was confused that, oh, I have done great sinful activities by killing so many soldiers just for me to sit on the throne of Hastinapur. So many crores of people have died on the battle of Kurukshetra. He was feeling guilty. Krishna tried to convince him, He was not convinced. Vyasadev, Dhaumya, many great personalities tried to convince Yudhishthir. He was not convinced. So then Krishna brought all the Pandavas in front of Bhishma. So Bhishma tried to console, pacify, counsel him. To become a counselor of Yudhishthir is not a small thing. So he's not like a IVS boy or someone like that. So Bhishma said, Aho kashtam aho nyayam yadyu yam dharma nandana. So, aho kashtam aho anyayam. You went through so many difficulties and you faced so many injustices. But in the midst of all this, an ordinary person cannot live, cannot continue life. But because you have taken shelter of bhakti, bhagavan and bhaktas, so you are saved. Vipra dharmachyutashreya. Jivitam narhatha klishtam vipra dharmachyutashreya. So you have taken shelter of vipra, dharma. And Achyuta. Achyuta is Krishna. Vipra, in a highest sense, Vipra refers to devotees, not just Brahmanas. Dharma, in the highest sense, it refers to Bhagavata Dharma or Paro Dharma, which is Bhakti. So Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya means taking shelter of Bhakti, Bhagavan and Bhagavatas, devotees. So because you have taken shelter, the difficulties that you face or the happiness that you face is not a product of your karma. How can there be prarabdha karma for a devotee on the level of Prithu Maharaj or on the level of Pandavas? So that's not a possibility. Then he also says in the next sloka, Yatra dharma suto raja gada panir vrukodaraham Krishno strigandi vamchapam suhrut krishnastato vipat. Yatra dharma suto raja, the place where dharma suta, Yudhishthir Maharaj is there. Gadapanir, Vrukodara, Bhima is there. Krishnostri Gandivam Chapam, Arjuna is there holding his Gandiva Chapa. And further, although they are equipped with all material and spiritual faculties, more than these two, they had Krishna as their direct well-wisher. Suhrut Krishna. Krishna is their direct well-wisher, Suhrut. Tato Vipat. Still there are so many difficulties in their lives, so many reversals in their lives. So the reason is sarvam kalakritam manye bhavatam cha yadapriyam sapalo yadvashe loko vayo rivaghanavali sarvam kalakritam manye. Time is the cause. Earlier he eliminated karma as the cause. Now he is introducing kala as the cause. So time is the cause of all your difficulties. Sarvam kalakritam manye bhavatam cha yadapriyam. Apriya means whatever reversals you have faced, whatever difficulties you have faced are because of the influence of time factor. Because a cloud cannot stay at one place. Cloud has to move by the movements of the wind. Right? Vayo riva ghanavali. So just like clouds move helplessly because of the flow of the wind, similarly, all the living beings also have to helplessly experience the effects of time factor. But Bhishma again thought, no, this is also not the right cause. He eliminated karma, introduced kala. Now he's eliminating kala also. Time cannot influence pure devotees like our Pandavas, or Prithu, or Prahlad, whoever. Time, you are beyond the effects of time also. You want another proof? Ayur harati vaipumsam udyan nastam chayannasau tasyartam yat kshanonita. Uttama shloka vartaya. Ayur harati vaipumsam. By the rising and setting of sun, the ayu, the lifespan of an average person, materialistic person, is reduced. But it is not the case in the case of a pure devotee. So in the case of a pure devotee, time doesn't reduce the lifespan. Rising and setting of the sun doesn't reduce the lifespan. What does that mean? Devotee is immortal? So it means that a materialistic person, by the rise and set of sun, he will come one day closer to death. But a pure devotee who is absorbing his mind in Krishna Katha, he will come one day closer to Krishna. For a devotee, death is not leaving home, leaving relatives. For a devotee, death is going home, going to real relatives, entering Vasudhaika Kutumbam. Okay, so thus
the time factor doesn't influence a pure devotee in the sense that, yes, devotee also can become old. Devotee also can have white hairs. Devotee also can have disease. But all these are just parts of a devotee's existence in the material world, acknowledging the protocols and things, the laws of the material world. But actually, he is coming closer to Krishna. Okay, that's what Bhagavatam says. Now, after eliminating Kala also as the cause of the suffering of Pandavas, what does Bhishma say? Tasmad idam daivatantram. This is personally orchestrated by Krishna in your life. Whatever happiness or distress that you have achieved in your life, whatever success or failures, whatever victory or defeat that you have experienced in your life is orchestrated by Krishna. Tasmad idam daivatantram. He concludes there in the 17th shloka. And then next shloka he goes into glorifying Krishna. Okay. So everything is orchestrated by Krishna in the life of a devotee, especially a pure devotee on the level of Prithu or Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna, Pandavas. So apparently, the happiness of a devotee looks like the result of some pious activities. Apparently, the distress of a devotee seems that this is a result of impious activities. He did pap, he's experiencing distress. He did punya, he's experiencing happiness. But in the case of devotee, that happiness or distress is orchestrated by Krishna. That poverty or wealthy situation is orchestrated by Krishna. Okay, that victory or defeat is orchestrated by Krishna. Suddenly Pandavas get Indraprastha, such an opulent kingdom, which by seeing which even Duryodhana also got envious, right? He wanted to capture it, and then they lost the Indraprastha in the gambling match. Okay, they lost even their own lives and their own wives in gambling match. So these are orchestrated by Krishna. Okay. Not exactly past karma, prarabdha karma, not even kala. Okay. So, and another important episode in this connection is Parikshit Maharaj. He sees the cow and bull. Okay. So he asks, why are you suffering like this? Who has cut your legs? Who is the cause of your suffering? Then bull, dharma bull, dharma in the form of bull, he says, we can't identify. Some say karma is the cause, some say kala is the cause, some say swabhava is the cause, some say daiva is the cause. But we are confused. It's beyond our intellectual ability to comprehend the cause of this distress. Manishaya, by your own advanced intelligence, you figure out. So it is apratarkyat anirdeshyat. It's beyond my ability to comprehend. Okay. So now, a devotee like dharma doesn't point out someone as the cause of suffering. It's ordained by Krishna. And out of humility, a devotee, as Prabhupada writes in this purport also, in the, which sloga? 11. Prabhupada writes in the purport also, somewhere in the second half, that devotee out of humility may consider that the distress I'm experiencing is a result of my own past misdeed, but it's not necessarily so. And it is, this is very clearly mentioned in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, 8th shloka. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam hridvagva purbhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo muktipadesa dayabhak. So Brahma says directly to Krishna in his prayers after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, Brahma says that when a devotee faces reversals, he understands that this is a result of my own past misdeed and it is sanctioned by Krishna, approved by Krishna for my own purification. So in this context, I just have to dedicate my body, mind and words to the devotional service of Krishna. Right? And in that purport, Acharyas very elaborately say that, okay, the happiness or distress experienced by devotees is not results of their past karma activities as such. Even in sadhaka stage, not only in sadhya stage, even when a devotee is in the practicing stage, the happiness and distress experienced by a devotee are personally orchestrated by Krishna. What to speak of pure devotees? Pure devotees, of course, they face reversals, but in the material world, but it's orchestrated by Krishna. So that does not make a devotee so callous, so reckless that I am beyond karma, no more karma for me. I am chanting Hare Krishna, no karma business for me, no prarabdha, no aprarabdha, papam, potam, bijam, etc. Everything is gone. I can do anything. Whatever I say is said by Krishna. Whatever I do is inspired by Krishna. Na bharati mengam rushopalakshate, na vaikvachinme manasomrushagati, na me hirshikani patanti asatpathe yanme hridi autkanthyavata dhurto harihi. Brahma says, right? Whatever I say, whatever I do, whatever I think is not wrong. Because I have accepted the lotus feet of Krishna with great zeal within my heart. Na bharati mengam rushopalakshate means my words, we can never say anything wrong. Okay. Na me hirshikani patanti asatpathe, my senses can never do anything wrong. Because I have accepted Krishna with great zeal within my heart. So, a sadhaka may not have yet accepted the lotus feet of Krishna with great zeal in the heart. He's trying, he's in the process of practice. So, that's why a sadhaka should not feel proud or overconfident that whatever I'm doing or saying or thinking is divine, is transcendental. One cannot become prematurely transcendental. Right? I have no karma. So, out of humility, even a devotee also feels that I am experiencing the results of my past deeds. Okay? So, this is the disposition of a devotee in the midst of difficulties or in the midst of happiness. Krishna sanctioned this happiness and Krishna sanctioned this difficulty. Let me just face it. Okay? And if it is difficulty, he also understands, he takes responsibility for that difficulty and he says, because of my past misdeeds, I have been experiencing this. So, he has that understanding. Fine? He doesn't act as if he is prematurely transcendental. However, let's see from the other side, from Krishna's side, and also from devotee's side. So, Prithu Maharaj is performing sacrifices here, okay, and enjoying happiness also. Performing sacrifices apparently seems that he is doing some pious activities or karmakandic activities, okay. And experiencing happiness seems to be result of pious activities. Okay? And experiencing distress seems to be result of impious activities. Or punishing someone or doing some mistake apparently seems that he's doing papa. Apparently, it seems like that. When a pure devotee does something, some mistake, it's not exactly papa, it's aparadha, which is more severe than papa. Okay? When comes into the realm of bhakti, so generally, he cannot sin. He can only offend. There is no papa, there is aparadha, which is more severe. The temperature is more severe. The effects of aparadha. It's like in sadhana bhakti, somebody may do aparadha, which is nama aparadha, vaishnava aparadha, seva aparadha, guru aparadha, this aparadha, that aparadha. So, the effects of these aparadhas are more severe. Okay. So, now, apparently what Prithu is experiencing seems to be a result of pious deeds. His opulence, his enjoyment, his power, his influence and his servants and this and that. But the point is that the Lord has put him in that position. Prabhupada writes in one purport that when the Lord is confident that my devotee doesn't get distracted from bhakti, even if I give him opulence, power and position, the Lord will give that. If the Lord sees that, oh, this devotee could get distracted. Okay. So, he will take away the opulence also. He will not give opulence, one thing. Whatever opulence he has, he will take away also. You see, Dhruva Maharaj, 5-year-old kid, in 6 months, he attained the darshan of the Lord. And after he became purified of his revengeful attitudes and material ambitions, he had a material ambition to attain a position superior to Brahma. And he had a little revengeful attitude, strong revengeful attitude towards stepmother and even stepbrother who was sitting silently, Uttama. So the Lord purified him of all those sinful propensities because Dhruva Maharaj was very determined in performance of devotional service. The determined practice of bhakti purified all the bad intentions in him, okay, in 6 months. And when the Lord appeared in front of Dhruva, Dhruva did not have any desire to attain a position superior to Brahma, to take revenge on his brother or stepmother, no such material desires. So the Lord understood he's purified. The Lord said, because you have become angry with your stepmother, she will die. Stepbrother will die in the hands of Yaksha, he will die. And Suruchi will die searching for Dhruva, searching for Uttama in a forest fire. And you will rule the earth for 36,000 years because you wanted to sit on the throne of your father. You will rule the earth for 36,000 years. After that, you will come to Vaikuntha Loka, you will come to Dhruva Loka. So now, let me not analyze the story so much, but here the point is, the Supreme Lord has consciously given material enjoyment to Dhruva. Rule the earth for 36,000 years. Opulence, right? Because the Lord understood, Dhruva will not get distracted by this opulence. He has become sufficiently mature in bhakti, he will not be distracted by material opulence. Okay? So, he gave. And when Prachetas, 10 people, 10 sons of Prachina Barhi, they did 10,000 years of tapasya underwater, chanted Rudra Gita, and Lord Vishnu came on the back of Garuda, and they were not asking for any material benedictions. They were not asking for any opulence, name, fame, prestige, etc. They were saying, Yavatte mayaya sprishta bhramama iha karma bhi tavat bhavat prasanganam sangasyanno bhave bhave. So because of our karma, past karma, devotee out of humility thinks still, because of our some karma, we may have to go from one body to another body, one species to another species. We may have to transmigrate from one life form to another life form. We don't mind. It's okay. But wherever we are, we need access to the association of your devotees, and we should be able to discuss Harikatha in that association. This is the desire of the Prachetas. But what did the Lord do? The Lord gave them opulence. You rule for thousands of years with full sensual strength, physical strength and opulence and money. You rule for a long time. There Prabhupada again writes that when the Lord is confident that his devotees will not get distracted in bhakti even by having opulence on a material plane, the Lord gives them opulence. Another example you want? Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad never asked for anything. The Lord asks, what do you want? You take any boon from me. Prahlad said, I am not a businessman. I don't want to exchange my service or my bhakti for some material boons. I don't want anything. The Lord said, you rule for one manvantara as the king of demons. Okay. So he never wanted it. So again, the discussion is, when the Lord is confident that his devotees will not get deviated from bhakti, he will give everything. Okay. He will give even material opulence also. That is not exactly a product of their piety. That is product of bhakti. The material opulence of a devotee is sanctioned by the Supreme Lord, not exactly the result of one's past karma. Okay? So in all these cases we have seen. And similarly, suffering also is also, a pure devotee is subjected to some kind of suffering, not exactly because of past karma, but it is sanctioned by the Lord so that he wanted to prove to the whole world that my devotees will not give up my bhakti even when there is suffering. Even if they are subjected to so many reversals, their faith in me, their faith in my protection will never get slackened. Uttara lost her husband, Abhimanyu, in Kurukshetra war. Then Ashwatthama released the Brahmastra to kill Uttara's son, who was still within her womb. So what did Uttara think? Anyways, Krishna never protected my husband. Will he protect my son? I'll not go to him. I'll go to someone else. She ran towards Krishna so spontaneously and so naturally. A devotee's dependence on Krishna is as natural and as spontaneous as a child's dependence on the mother without any analysis. So in the case of such great devotees, happiness or distress is ordained by Krishna, not exactly according to their past misdeeds or karma, quote unquote. It could be a result of aparads when they are in sadhana stage. Okay, but when there is sadhya stage, it is ordained by Krishna. Fine. So if they are acting like sadhakas, then practitioners, then there could be some aparas or some kind of offenses or some kind of past impressions, whatever. So as a result, one may have to experience some difficulty. as ordained by Krishna. Okay, as sanctioned by Krishna. Yes, let him be purified for this. So, and out of humility, a devotee thinks that I am experiencing the results of my own past misdeeds. The misdeed could be a sin, misdeed could be an offense, both. Okay. So, now, why scriptures often say this? Even Bhagavatam also you find. He exhausted his pious credits by experiencing happiness. He exhausted his impious credits by experiencing distress. And acharyas negate the shloka, saying that there is no piety, there is no impiety for this person. Okay. So, why this is mentioned? Now, I'll discuss on two reasons, two things. One, to maintain compatibility with the material world. Two, to protect the confidentiality of bhakti. Compatibility, confidentiality. Okay. So, sometimes a devotee is seen doing some regular activities which may not be seen very spiritual or devotional or bhakti activities in our context. Okay. But devotee may be seemingly indulging in some, say, karmakandic activities or sacrifices or experiencing some pain or pleasure, dressing oneself opulently. Who is that? Pundarika Vidyanidhi, right? So, acting like a monarch, okay, punishing people, this and that. Externally, so many things a devotee may do. But, and an explanation given in the scriptures about those activities of devotee also may seem very conventional. Oh, this is part of piety. He did so many pious activities and he became a king and he's now enjoying his influence and rulership. The description may be given. But the description is basically conventional. It's a conventional way of saying things. Somebody did somebody had some access to some great fortune. Bahut punya kiya hoga. But bahut tapasya kiya hoga. Okay. Durapahyalpa tapasa seva vaikuntha vartmasu yatropagiyate nityam deva devo janardana. Durapahi alpa tapasa seva vaikuntha vartmasu. People who are meager in their austerity cannot get an opportunity to serve Vaishnavas. That's the meaning of the shloka, literal meaning. But what does that mean? Doing austerity is a cause to get opportunity for Vaishnava Seva? Is austerity an opportunity to get Vaishnava Seva? It's a conventional way of saying it. Drapahi alpatapasa. And all the Mathuravasis say, when Krishna entered the arena, the wrestling arena of Kamsa, all the Mathura ladies see, wow, such a beautiful person, 11 year old boy. Krishna is looking so beautiful, but he's perspiring. There's some drops of blood on his body because he just fought with Kavalaya Pida. So seeing him, all the Mathura women felt that the gopis are so fortunate because they never see Krishna being tormented by demons like this, wrestlers like this. We are so unfortunate. We have to experience the pain of seeing Krishna being attacked by these mountain-like wrestlers, these tender boys. In that context, they say, Gopyah tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam lavanya saramasamordhamananya siddham drigbhih pibantya nusava bhinavam durapam ekanta dhamaya shashahashriya aishwarasya. Gopyah tapah kimacharan. What great austerities did the gopis do to be able to see Krishna's form in Vrindavan? It's wrong statement. Literally, it seems that they did austerity. They got to see Krishna and Vrindavan. But gopis did not do any austerity. It's just a convention of saying it. Okay, bahut tapasya kiya hoga. A lot of tapasya he must have done or she must have done. So, gopyaha tapaha ki macharan yadamushya rupam. So, we need to understand that scriptural shlokas are sometimes or many times contextual, not textual. We can't go by the literal meaning. We need to see the spirit behind the statement being made. Acharyas reveal that spirit because they are closer to Bhagavatam. They are closer to the heart of Vyasadeva or Sukadeva Goswami or Krishna. Krishna says something and Prabhupada says something. It seems not matching. But Krishna's intentions are very well known to Prabhupada than a Sanskrit scholar, okay, who might literally get a linguistic meaning. Okay, they see from grammatical perspective, linguistic perspective, historical perspective, scholarly perspective, but they miss the devotional perspective. Okay. So here, when this kind of statements come, we need to say the spirit behind it, and the spirit is very well accurately revealed by the acharyas, and they know the shloka better than us. Okay, it's a conventional way of saying things, out of humility, devotee may think that I am just experiencing, reaping the result of my past misdeeds. I did a lot of sins. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, although he did the entire Kurukshetra war under the personal guidance of Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj thought that, oh, I did a great pap. Even if I do hundreds of sacrifices, I cannot wash away my sins. It's like a liquor pot being washed by a river water. It will not. Now, you see, the whole discussion is like this, karmakandik. I did papa. I cannot wash away this papa with punya. By holy baths, I cannot wash away the sin. By sacrifices, I cannot wash away the sin. So sacrifice seems punya, holy bath seems punya, and what he has acquired is papa. But there is no papa punya business there in the whole discussion. He did bhakti. What Yudhishthira Maharaj did is pure devotional service under the guidance of Krishna. Krishna came to do paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya. Krishna came for that. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna, Bhima, all these great devotees are assisting Krishna in fulfilling these three missions. Krishna personally does paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya cha dushkritam. Sometimes he engages his devotees also to do the same. Right? And he will assist them. Devotees assist Krishna and Krishna assists devotees for the same mission. It's bhakti. So, but the discussion is on the level of papa punya, karma, because in this way, we kind of maintain a compatibility with the material world and protect the confidentiality of bhakti. Those who are not qualified to yet enter the realm of pure bhakti may need this discussion of papa punya. Okay? So let the scriptures present things that way so that the confidentiality of bhakti is preserved, and qualified people who can understand the inner meanings and moods and deeds of pure devotees whose stories are described in Bhagavatam, they will subscribe for bhakti yoga. But other people get their message. Okay? So if you read Gajendra Moksha, you will not get bad dreams. Some people get excited with that. If you read Gajendra Moksha, you will develop love of Godhead. Some people will get excited with that. These people, they can't relate with love of Godhead. And these people cannot relate with bad dreams. Right? So everybody, like Bhagavatam, can simultaneously speak to multiple kinds of audience according to their level. If Krishna is Ayathamam Prapadyante, Krishna in the form of Bhagavatam can also be Ayathamam Prapadyante. Krishna, Bhagavatam is also compared with Mohini Murti by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Mohini Murti gives nectar to devatas. Mohini Murti doesn't give nectar to demons. So both have worked together. Similarly, both read. Materialistic people may read Bhagavatam. Scholars may read Bhagavatam. Devotees may read Bhagavatam. The real meanings are revealed to devotees who have that right spirit. But people who have some other non-devotional tendencies may not get the real meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So in this way, some kind of confidentiality is protected, and also the faith of people who have some faith in at least karma. They may not be totally atheistic, but there is some kind of piety. They have some faith in karma, faith in piety and impiety, some fear of sin and excitement for pleasure for piety. So these people are, okay, let's maintain their faith at least. That's better than being atheistic, better than being animalistic. So their faith is also kind of protected. Otherwise, see, when very pure devotees, amongst pure devotees also there are gradations. Vrajavasis are they get the first rank. So Nanda Maharaj performs Indra Puja. What Nanda Maharaj has to do to perform Indra Puja? Brahma and Shiva will come and offer obeisances to Nanda Maharaj and take his dust. And who is Indra in comparison to Brahma and Shiva? Brahma lives for 100 years. Within one day of Brahma, there are 14 manvantaras. And each manvantara has a different Indra. Within one day of Brahma, 14 Indras change. And who is Indra in comparison to Brahma? And that Brahma is taking dust from Krishna's lotus feet, Nanda Maharaj's lotus feet, and that Nanda Maharaj is worshipping Indra. Just to maintain compatibility with the material world. Right? So, okay, let these people, Vrajavasis, may do some things. It's just a part of Leela. Not even compatibility with material world. There, it's just a part of their Leela. And Krishna comes and then stops Indra Puja, introduces Govardhan Puja. So, the activities done by pure devotees in the material world cannot be taken literally from a devotional perspective. On a spiritual plane, they are at a different level, but we cannot exactly say, oh, they did like this. Okay, they are also subjected to papa and punya, subjected to the influence of devatas. So they are on a different plane only. So what did Brahma say? The first thing, statement that Brahma made when he came to Prithu to stop his sacrifice was that, you are a pure devotee. Why do you need to do these sacrifices? You know, Indra, let him maintain the record of Shatakrut. That's the first reason that he has given. First thing that came out of his mouth is, stop the sacrifice. You don't need to do this. You are a devotee. Okay, devotees have nothing to do with karmakandic sacrifices. So he said that. But he is doing. 99 sacrifices already done. So does Prithu Maharaj does not understand this? Even in Bharat Maharaj's case, 5th canto, 6th chapter, Bharat Maharaj, when he is doing sacrifices, Acharyas, you can see the 6th purport of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Very beautiful purport. He says that when Bharat Maharaj is doing this sacrifice, that's his devotional service, not karmakanda as such. When he is offering oblations to Indra, Indra Swaha, Chandra Swaha, Surya Swaha, he is meditating on the limbs of Vasudeva, because Lord Vasudeva, his combination of all these devatas. All the devatas are like limbs of the Lord's body. So he is doing that sacrifice in a devotional consciousness, not in a material consciousness. Thus, for them, only bhakti is being done. And in another purport, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, gives multiple reasons why pure devotee kings also perform some sacrifices like this, some kind of external karmakandic sacrifices or pious activities, charity, this and that. One thing is, to protect the faith of common people, to set a right example for common people, and people who are not meant to be disturbed in their faith, one should not abruptly unsettle their faith. Na buddhi bhedam janaye, Krishna says in 3rd chapter, right? So, great devotees will not disturb the faith of common people and does not enforce upon them for something which they are not yet ready for, although they slowly try to push them and inspire them. But otherwise, they don't unsettle them completely. So that's like one reason. And see, our Jagannath ji, he performs Shraddha Ceremony for Indrajumna Maharaj. What exactly is this? Jagannath need not do Shraddha. Indrajumna doesn't need Shraddha. But Shraddha Ceremony is being performed. Okay. So common people are there, at least let them do something. Okay, taking this example. But we should not immaturely think that they are subjected to this. Even Jagannath ji also has to do Shraddha. Even Indrajumna also needs Shraddha. They don't need. So they may set some example for common people to follow. Right? So here Prithu Maharaj is going through some enjoyment, external enjoyment. That's not exactly a result of his past deed. 11th shloka. Just a minute, I'll open the page. So, here, the terms pious and impious are applicable only in reference to the activities of an ordinary living being, not a devotee. So, devotee's ecstasy is in bhakti. Okay, I need to make 2 points now. 2 points are clashing in the mind. Okay, let me complete the suffering part because we are in that line. So, devotee may experience happiness or distress. So distress is experienced at 3 levels by 3 kinds of people. One, common people, not adhyatmika adhibhautika adhidaiva kleshas. I'm not speaking about that. Adhyatmika adhibhautika adhidaiva kleshas are experienced by multiple people, apparently. One is regular conditioned souls. Karma is the cause. They did some mistakes and they experienced some bad results. Fine? As simple as that. Even practicing devotees also experience suffering, reversals. Not exactly because of karma, but for their purification. Whatever traces of anarthas they have, Krishna wants to give them a token suffering to purify them. For purification, they experience suffering. Krishna is orchestrating that suffering in their lives for their purification of whatever traces of shortcomings or anarthas that they have. Okay, so materialistic people experience suffering because of past misdeeds, karma. Practicing devotees experience suffering for purification. Pure devotees experience suffering not for purification, but for glorification. For their glorification. Okay. Because when a pure devotee performs bhakti and still experiences difficulties and still doesn't leave bhakti, doesn't give up one's faith in Krishna bhakti, that's a great example for all devotees to follow. Seeing Pandava suffering so much, some people think if you worship Krishna, you will undergo suffering. Let me worship someone else. One of my relatives said, I will not chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Why? Krishna, okay. But Ram, he underwent a lot of difficulties. If I say Ram's name, I will also undergo difficulties. I don't want this mantra. Okay? So, now, some people, when they see Pandava suffering, they may think, they may not have sufficient faith in bhakti. They are such great devotees, still they underwent difficulties. But pure devotees, they see from another angle. They see Pandava suffering from another angle. What is that angle? In spite of undergoing so many reversals, Pandavas never lost faith in Krishna. This is how bhakti should be. Okay? This is how our dedication to Krishna should be. Okay? Their faith in Krishna, their faith in bhakti was never slackened. So we need to develop devotion like this. So devotees get inspired by the same thing in a different style. Okay? So the confidentiality of bhakti is protected from one angle. Okay? That doesn't give entry to anyone and everyone. Okay. At the same time, the inspiration on a devotional plane is also transmitted through these examples. So we see so many devotees like Prithu, Vrajavasis, Kunti, Draupadi, Pandavas, Ambarish, Bharat. So many such great devotees faced reversals, but their faith in Krishna did not get slackened. That's a great example for devotees to follow. Tribulations and temptations are quite common in this world. So tolerate the tribulations. Don't give in to temptations and maintain your bhakti. So another important angle that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur highlights in 10th canto, 84th chapter mostly. Yasyaham anugrihanami harishyeta dhanam shanaihi. In that shloka purport, Chakravarti Pada writes that actually this experience of suffering by a devotee is an experience of pleasure by the devotee. Okay? Special pleasure, unique pleasure. It's like every day eating rasmalai in a meal. In a meal you are eating so many tasty items, eating so many sweets. That's okay, nice if you have the digestive capacity. But once you eat a mirchi and your eyes are shedding tears, then you eat a rasmalai, the taste will increase. Okay? You will appreciate the taste of rasmalai or rasgulla much better after eating a mirchi, especially for non-spicy people like me. Okay? Similarly, the Lord may arrange suffering in the lives of devotees. Earth is undergoing so much difficulty. Earth, a pure devotee, Bhumi Devi, is experiencing so much difficulty, and military kings are overburdening her. Suddenly she is crying and tears are coming from her eyes, and she is taking the form of a cow and goes desperately to Brahma. Brahma says, please save me. And then Brahma takes her to Vishnu, and then Vishnu says, I am coming, don't worry. Okay? And Krishna comes and relieves Mother Earth from suffering. And Krishna has the ability to relieve her from suffering without he coming. But if he puts her in suffering and he comes and relieves her from suffering, and rasa is experienced better. Okay, so Chakravarti Pada says that you are not very familiar with rasa. You are not very experienced in experiencing rasa. That's why you say that why can't the Lord not cause any difficulties in the devotee's life? Why can't there be constant pleasure? No, even on spiritual plane, even in spiritual world also, the Lord puts his devotees into some kind of difficulty to relieve them from the difficulty. And when that relief is given by the Lord, the rasa is experienced in a much better manner. Just like after mirchi, you can appreciate rasmalai better. After eating 10 rasmalais, you can appreciate some namkeen poha better. Right? So, happiness, spiritual pleasure also can be experienced with simultaneous happiness and distress, which is actually in the spiritual plane, viparalambha and sambhoga. There is pain of meeting the Lord, there is pleasure of getting, there is pain of getting separated from the Lord, there is pleasure of meeting the Lord. At spiritual plane also, pleasure is experienced in two flavors. Separation and union. Krishna may put Radharani in some distress of separation. And suddenly he comes and manifests, and then there are smiles on the face, right? So this is experience of rasa. So similarly, when devotees experience so many difficulties in life, karma question is ruled out completely, right? It's not a result of their karma. It is basically experience of rasa, okay? Kunti Maharani is praying, let me have more difficulties. Vipada hashantuta hashashvatatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yasyat apunar bhavadarshanam. She says that, my dear Lord, whenever you put us in some difficulty and you come to relieve us from the difficulty, we get your darshan, we experience your mercy, and repeatedly we are getting more and more opportunities to see you. Apunar bhava darshanam means we don't have to see this material world again. Actually speaking, that is not the worry of Kunti Maharani. Apunar bhava darshanam is not the worry of Kunti Maharani or any pure devotee for that matter. Apunar bhava darshanam is again a conventional way of saying it. We take your darshan, we don't have to take darshan of this material world. But not taking darshan of material world is not a part of agent of devotee. If the devotee has to take darshan of material world, he will take, no problem, right? So, yavatte maya asprishta brahmamayaha karma bhi tavat bhavat prasanganam sangasyanno bhave bhavi. So, we don't mind transmigrating from one life to another life, one species to another species. We have no issue with that, okay? So, devotees say that, and Kunti Maharani, how can she say that? And she says, as if she's a sadhaka bhakta who may tend to forget Krishna when there is only happiness, where there is no distress. She also says that difficulties give us an opportunity to remember you. That does not mean that in happiness she is forgetting Krishna. In her another conversation with Akrura in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, you remember Krishna sends Akrura to Hastinapur. Dhritarashtra is behaving very crazy way. So you go and console. There Kunti Maharani expresses her heart to Akrura. So it's very clear in all those descriptions that Kunti Maharani remembers Krishna not only in distress but also in happiness. Whether it is happiness or distress, that is not a product of their piety or impiety. And whether it is happiness or distress, devotee always remembers Krishna. But remembering Krishna in happiness gives one kind of spiritual bliss. Remembrance of Krishna in distress gives another kind of spiritual bliss. Both flavors they want. We want spicy, non-spicy. We want hot food, we want cold food. Okay, you can relish both. Bhakti is relished in both ways. So Kunti Maharani says that, like, again, to maintain compatibility with the material world, general tendency of an average person is to forget God when there is distress, when there is happiness, and to remember God when there is distress. So Kunti Maharani's sloka is kind of indicating that difficulties give us opportunity to remember Krishna. To that sense, you can take difficulty also positively. You can remember Krishna. You can intensify your dependence on Krishna in difficulty. Okay? But actually, whether it is happiness or distress, devotees always remember Krishna. Prabhupada writes that. Where he writes that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parents, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, they had around 8 daughters, right? 8 daughters before the birth of Vishwambhar. They were in great distress. We lost our sons. We lost our daughters. They took birth and they died soon. So they were in distress. So they took shelter of Lord Govinda. And after taking shelter of Govinda, they got a son who survived, Vishwambhar. Vishwaroop. So again they worshipped Govinda. Prabhupada writes, whether in happiness or distress, devotees constantly worship Krishna, they remember Krishna. So the remembrance of a devotee does not depend on a happy situation or distressful situation on a higher plane. But for a practicing person who is just a neophyte in bhakti, distress gives a impetus to depend on Krishna, intensify one's dependence on Krishna, while happiness may sometimes make one forgetful. Sometimes one may not feel the desperation to depend on Krishna when the situation is very comfortable. That's why Kali Yuga people are in a better situation, because there is a lot of distress, they can remember Krishna better, they can depend on Krishna better. But in the previous yugas, people think that, why we have to go to spiritual world? Material world is good, no? Climate is good. Okay, we are getting vegetables, we are getting fresh air. This ambience is very good. They don't feel so much desperation to leave the material world. They are not desperately looking for liberation. Okay, so these are various finer nuances of the heart, emotions of devotees, and descriptions of scriptures when they are presenting in piety, impiety terms. So, coming back to the discussion, the materialistic people, conditioned souls, they experience distress because of their impious activities or karma. And practicing devotees for their purification of their anarthas or shortcomings or reaction to their offenses, etc. Then pure devotees, they experience distress so that they are glorified. Not for purification, for their glorification. Their faith to Krishna is announced. And on a higher plane, they are experiencing rasa in that. And while doing so, they are setting an example for common devotees, practicing devotees and other people. And also from, at another level, there is another message given. Even if you are a great devotee, so dedicated to the Lord, material world is a place of distress. It is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So that's why there is distress everywhere, even in the case of great souls. But from a spiritual plane, we need to see that there is actually no distress. So misery is mercy of Krishna. Misery is an opportunity to experience rasa. Okay. So for a devotee, what is that shloka? Vishvam purna sukhayate vidhimahendra dischakitayate yatkarunya kataksha vaibhavavatam tam gaurame vastumaham. So vishvam purna sukhayate, there is no distress in the material world. One day, Himalayala Prabhu was quoting Prabhupada. Somebody said, Prabhupada, so many difficulties in service. So many difficulties. Prabhupada said, where is difficulty? I only see service to my guru. Okay. So, Bhagavatam, when it says, tapatrayon mulanam, it's not that literally all the tapatrayas are gone. When you are practicing devotional service or performing bhakti, it's not that you will not experience the heat, you will not sweat, okay? You will not experience rain, tapatraya, or you will not experience any financial problems, health problems, coronavirus. All will continue to exist. But Bhagavatam will equip the consciousness with the necessary maturity to see misery as mercy of Krishna. See the hand of Krishna in all circumstances of life. And thus connect to Krishna. So whatever is happening is ordained by Krishna. So as it's not piety or impiety in the case of a pure devotee. But for common people, these are relevant discussions, and Bhagavatam is trying to cater to the needs of those people also. And while people who are qualified and people who are mature enough, they will see the same shlokas, same pastimes, same characters from different perspective, and they get a different message and experience rasa. That's why Bhagavatam gives messages to multiple levels of audiences. Depending on our consciousness, we connect to that message, right? If somebody may be sitting in some Bhagavatam class or reading one chapter of Bhagavatam, every single reader will not get the same message. It's like Krishna is lifting Govardhan. He's standing facing one direction. Every single Vrajavasi is experiencing that Krishna is seeing me face to face and reciprocating with that devotee in that particular flavor. Whether it is Sakya flavor, or Dasya flavor, or Madhurya flavor, Vatsalya flavor, he is reciprocating. Krishna can simultaneously reciprocate with multiple types of devotees in multiple ways. Similarly, Bhagavatam can simultaneously reciprocate with multiple readers at multiple levels. So it's our consciousness. If you tune our consciousness to Bhagavatam in a certain flavor, Bhagavatam also will reveal the messages in that way, right? So, actually, devotees are not excited with the yoga, what is that, karma, jnana. Yoga shrityupapatti nirjaravana dhyana dhvasam bhavita swarajyam pratipadya nirjayabami nirbhayabami mukta bhavantu dvija. Asmakam tu kadamba kunja kuhara pronmiladin divara shreni shyamala dhama nama jushatam janmastu lakshavadhi. Yoga shrutyupapatti nirjana vana dhyanadva sambhavita. Let some people who are yogis may enter nirjana vana. Let them enter some solitary forests. Dhyanadva sambhavita. Let them do dhyana. Okay. Svarajyam pratipadya. Pratipadyam nirbhayabami. Mukta bhavantu dvija. Let them attain swarajya, let them attain heavenly planets or whatever. And let them attain fearlessness from all material fears. Mukta bhavantu dvija. Let those brahmanas attain even liberation also. We are not so excited with all these descriptions. Their sadhanas or their sadhyas, we are not excited. Asmakam tu kadamba kunja kuhara pronmiladindivara. Asmakam tu. As far as we are concerned, Padyavali. Asmakam tu. as far as we devotees are concerned, kadamba kunja kuhara pronmilva dindivara. We are absorbed in chanting the holy name of Krishna, whose form is like this. Suddenly, after a lot of left brain analysis, a right brain description comes. What is that? Kadamba kunja kuhara means, just imagine a forest of kadamba trees. Now I'm going fast. Now I'm slowing down, because shloka is slowing down here. The shloka description is, just imagine a kadamba forest. A nice lake surrounded with so many kadamba trees. And in that lake, nice, beautiful blue lotuses are growing. And these lotuses are so fresh, and especially when they are bathed in moonlight, they appear very effulgent. They are dark, but they are effulgent, bathed in moonlight. And there this kadamba pollen just falls. Around these nice blue flowers, some yellow layer of kadamba pollen, kadamba flowers is spread out. Such a beautiful scene, even just to hear. Krishna's form is like this. Okay, Krishna is bluish in form. He has yellow dhoti. It's like seeing a pool filled with blue lotuses surrounded by kadamba pollen. Okay. Asmakam tu kadamba kunja kuhara pronmiladindivara shrenishyamala dhama nama jushatam janmastu lakshavadhi. Lakshavadhi means lakhs of janmas. I will take lakhs of lifetimes to chant the holy name of that Lord who has this beautiful form. Absorption in the form of Krishna, remembrance of Krishna, chanting the holy name of Krishna. In comparison to this, yoga shrutyapapatti nirjanavana dhyanadha sambhavita. What is this? So devotee sees, he completely rules out all these descriptions, right? So this is what excites us. So Prithu Maharaj and who else? Many other great devotees in Bhagavatam. So they are presented, their stories are presented as if they are experiencing the results of their piety or impiety, but their whole frequency is tuned to some other Zoom link. Right, one Zoom link is attended by 1,000 people, but another Zoom link has only 5 people. But they clicked that link. Okay, they are attending that class. So bhakti, the subscribers for bhakti may be minority, but subscribers for many materialistic paths or pseudo spiritual paths may be majority. So we may maintain compatibility with all this. So once Prabhupada said, there is some 9:10. Sorry. So there is some land that got sanctioned. So the devotees got land. So Prabhupada closed his eyes. Somebody informed Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, we got the land. Somebody has donated that land." Maharaj was explaining this in one class. So Prabhupada closed his eyes. "Krishna is so merciful. By Krishna's grace we got." After a moment of deep absorption and gratitude to Krishna and appreciation of Krishna's pastime, how he made sure that we get that land despite so many difficulties, Prabhupada opened the eyes and said, "Get the deal signed. Don't just go by the words of that person. Get it officially sanctioned, right? Put paper, put everything on paper. Let the official documents be with us." So while respecting the ways of the material world and how the material world functions, devotees are there in touch with the Supreme at a different level, at a different rasic level. Okay, but while being in touch with that transcendental realm, they also don't lose compatibility with the material world. It's not about being compatibility, it's being doing the needful while being in the material plane, so that we try to connect other people also to bhakti as much as possible, right? So these are a few thoughts on this shloka. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.